Item 10, discussion and possible action on the Staubach Company's proposal, TVA recommendations and staff suggestions relating to the Possum Kingdom property management strategy and Possum Kingdom Life. Go forward, Kent Mendy and Laura Lee.
What we have in Ray is the logic that we're going to try to go through this.
Can you raise your mic?
Can you raise that mic?
I said what we're going to do and try to flow through this in a logic sequence that addresses all the concerns and this issue. What you're going to see is what was presented in the books, the spy notebooks by the Staubach Company, pages 1 through 12, and we're going to go list through those. What Ken's fixing to do is whenever we get to that point, where, for example, it says one of the things is how you use the market value, you do assessment. We're just going to make it yellow and hold that thought. We'll be back to that, but we're going to go through all the things first and see all the stuff. And then we'll come back and pick up the individual items that we feel that you need to be advised of or you need to talk about. Because what I found in this process, if you change one variable, it changes the whole totality of where you're going. And so you need to agree in the foundation of what you're going to do. And the cherry picking of it makes it very difficult to come up and say, well, make this simple, make it quick, why get the heck out of here? This is very, very complex. Very, very complex. And so what we're going to do is go over those things, and then Kent is not going to talk about how we get to that thing about how do you assess the tax value. We're going to talk about that. We have some numbers to compare that John Haas will put together, and then we'll sign at the end, and we'll go from there.
This hour was done.
You did so well.
I won't read each of these. Nancy, if you go to the next slide there. We kind of walked through, as Phil said, the recommendations that we pulled from the Staubach report, their phase three report. Basically, a master plan is a big issue that we certainly all feel like, I think, that we need and can work towards. Secondly, was portfolio management study with defined goals. Again, financial considerations of a master plan that we will build or at least potentially have a consultant do to be determined. Utilize a resource preservation and utilization plan, next slide, as a basis for our management decisions. Next slide, residential leases. Staubach felt we need to implement a new lease document that had clearly defined terms and industry practices within. They recommended modifying the rate methodology, removing the cap that is currently on at the maximum amount on the methodology. The next issue there in yellow, as Phil mentioned and what we mentioned on this, there are certainly probably discussion items for the board, that being going to market value, tying the leases directly with that, with the NAI real estate appraisers. Incentive for lessees, again, one issue at least, we did feel like there should be an incentive for the lessees to migrate to the new lease document. Market rate, again, is an issue that the board, I think, will want to discuss. Staubach recommended that we do a term of 30 to 50 years, which I certainly think is workable to do, and staff does feel that way. Standardized lake use policies for all lake users. Next issue. And as you see, I mean, certainly you've heard at the biggest board meetings concerns from the lessees and their position, I think, in all due respect to them, that we lease property from you. We don't believe that we need to pay for our boat docks. We don't believe that we need to pay for water that we water our yards with, or the watercraft user fee in that is in place now at PK. Staubach and their recommendations felt a little bit differently about that all lake users, from an equitable basis, are be paying for those type of issues. Lake water usage, boat docks, boating user fees, and then when it came to road maintenance, as we discussed, implement a program to make road maintenance self-sustaining, whether that be going to the county or working something with the lessees as we do, that could be determined. lease assignments, Staubach and Montiel elected, we just got a law, unrestricted transfers of leasehold interest, require the buyers of leasehold estates to submit the market rate based on rents, again, another item of discussion. And again, grants and incentive, which I mentioned earlier as well, to migrate to the new leases. Next slide. Require new leases rather than automatic options to renew. Require new leases at market rates upon the expiration of the lease. Again, we've highlighted the market rate issue there. It does give flexibility, certainly, and allows for implementation of the new lease forms and procedures. Implement an inspection program. There was quite a bit of discussion with that, I think, in our shoreline management guide discussions. We certainly agree with all that. Down on the bottom, implement mandatory appraisals. Require current appraisal when a new lease is executed. Again, probably need to discuss that certainly amongst yourselves on the board, and staff will attempt to do that as well. Staubach also implemented that for commercial leases, new lease documents, again, similar to the residential, implement new commercial lease terms consistent with business use, minimum of 10 years, longer terms to support financing of capital improvements in that. Commercial leases additionally require strict standards for construction of improvements, implied, and construction standards. Increase the use of concession agreements and percentage rent commercial leases, which is probably more along the industry standards of doing that. Next slide. This certainly, I think, is an issue that we feel the board will want to discuss. So utilize competitive bids for all on-water commercial facilities and concessionary agreements upon expiration of the current leases, and work towards the highest level of service for lake users and residents. Discontinue commercial subleasing. Staff has had numerous calls and conversations on that as well. I think personally the commercial camps at PK and the sublessees that they have are very concerned right now about the board action on that, and certainly we can discuss that. I think Staubach and their feeling, I believe, felt like that if nothing else, we ought to look, the board ought to consider terminating those at the end of their current lease, so they have some time to plan for that. There may be some other options that we can certainly consider as well, versus doing that if the board so elects to do it. Next slide. Again, standardized lake service fees and apply consistently to all lake users. I think in their report you had some slides, and we do have backup if you don't bring them up later. They talk about the lake fees that we have right now, and recommendations from Staubach to any changes thereof. Management administrative. Require periodic review and adjustments for all lake service fees. We understand that and certainly want to do that. Additional lake enhancements and implement a lake pilot program to make public recreation self-sustaining. I think we've really launched out in trying to do that in some areas, and we certainly agree that we need to continue to do that. It's been one of the complaints that we've had at open house meetings that we've had at the PK is residents feel like that they're paying much for public recreation on part of the public to come up there. Additional lake enhancements, these next ones that we have, we've highlighted them all in yellow, realizing there may be some impact right now with developers, development on that, as you heard at the AMA meeting, some discussions about scenic codes and harbor area affordable city. We feel like, from a staff perspective, that we probably need to tie these in through our master plan, not necessarily make a decision now, realizing that could delay some of the plans that the developers may want to do, but get a master plan built and put this in here and work it that way. If you want to just go through the next one, scenic code, probably area four, next slide, enhancing the garbage area to an ecologically sensitive public use facility, which we do feel like the board probably wants to move that direction. Next slide. Again, eliminating existing structures at Scenic Point Northview. Many of you may recall, if you've been up the lake, those structures are much of the old Army housing and other structures that the Army had up there sometime that in some cases are certainly need. We need to do something with that. And that would come all with a master plan as well. Additional lake enhancements, explore revenue mitigation. for certain islands and low-lying areas, and we agree with all that. It doesn't necessarily have to be part of a master plan, although I think it would be, certainly, but we can move out and work that as well. Now, from a staff perspective, Phil, do you want to cover this, or how do you want to do this now as far as recommendations and that as we move forward?
Okay. What I do is, you'll see that we basically say that there's some, we believe that we should adopt about 95% of it, 90% of it, and it will come back, and that's what we'll start talking about is the things that we think that needs to have your understanding and your buy-in prior to us getting there, and then we'll have some odds to get that. So, do we need a master plan? The answer is absolutely yes. The portfolio management says, how does it all fit together? Yes. Utilizing the resources preservation and the utilization coupled with the plan to make sure that they all go in and things are blended together, we say yes. Next. Implement a new methodology. We believe that. Modify the existing rate methodology. We believe that. And increase the time after 30 to 50 years. All of this is the lenders say you can help the situation up there, get more people in the game if you'll push that time frame out. We believe all this, that the standardized use of the policies, we've gotten closer to that today to move that. We're working the road maintenance, require the leases, new leases rather than to renew. What we're trying to do here is make this coincident with getting onto a new lease model, that the one we have now is problematic, and to make that happen. And we're going to go through and show you how that works in just a second. And implementing an inspection program to where you have standards. And we'll go through that in detail here in a second as well. Next. We agree, but the bottom line is this requires more work than we've had time to do. So the commercial aspect of this, we believe in theory and the logic for all of it, but it needs the details that need to be continued to work. Next. Same here. Okay. I'll get to this slide in a minute after John gets up, and I want to show you. The first thing that you have to do is, do you believe that you're going to market, or do you believe that you need to use the assessed value of the Palo Pinto County map, realizing that there's a class action suit up against the Palo Pinto County Tax Assessing Office right now that factors into the game. And so we want to show you some numbers and to show you how it plays out, both with the Staubach study, our approach, and then also what the TBA study says, which will tell you is the last approved board baseline, and that was the TBA study baseline. And we'll tell you that, and that's coming due. We've got to make a decision to be implemented by January 2008. So that's going to factor into this whole capability. Huh? John?
I have a question, Phil. If I read those first two bullets correctly, does that imply removing the cap?
Yes, sir. We're going to get all that.
Thank you.
Thank you. The first thing I'd like to do is I want to pass out some documents that replace the ones that were in your book, and you can see what's highlighted. Just highlighted in red color the numbers that changed. What we have is when we sent out we continued to work on the assessed values, the numbers we get from the, in this case, Palo Pinto County Appraisal District, we have to continue to work with them and to analyze them, in some cases modify some of the allocations of the property. In other words, the acreage that we get doesn't necessarily line up with the acreage we have, and so we have to work through that. We continued to do that, and it changed some of the, at least the current assessed values, and that's what this represents. What you can just, the only thing that changed is what is highlighted there in red, but it should replace the documents that you have. I apologize, I know they're real small numbers. What we're going to go through here in a few slides is really some of the same information, and hopefully I put it in a way where it'll be a little easier to read in the slide presentation, but it's really the same numbers that you have on those small small number. As you look at the, what I try to do here is to look at this from the standpoint you may remember in your, or see in your book, that there are three alternatives that I call them, alternative A, B, and C, of the three documents. And I think the first page is actually an assumption page, which sort of describes the assumptions based in each of those alternatives. I just changed the term a little bit up here, methodology, just because I thought it was a little more representative of what we're talking about. But really, they're just illustration. They're there for illustration purposes to show here's what the financial impact of those alternatives or methodologies would be from, first from a financial perspective. The first thing I want to say is the first line that you see up here, which is 2003 to 2007. That's the first five-year period that we're just about to enter into the last, starting January 1st, 2007, we'll enter into the last year of that five-year period. Of course, the methodology that we've been employing has basically been a 3%, an effective rate of 3% times the assessed values, and you can see the bullet down here at the bottom, the asterisk there at the very bottom that says we're using the 2002 County Appraisal District Assessment based on the board's direction, actually back in 2003 and 2004, that we used the 2002 Appraisal District Assessment. So that's what the first line represents. We had a minimum rental of $500 a year and a maximum rental of $2,000 that was also part of the board resolution. The land value at the beginning of the period was the total. That's the total land value for all 1,570 lessees was about $39 million. Is the total assessed value based on from the appraisal district, and that will generate in 2007. This is for just for the year starting January 1st, 2007. Our estimate is that will generate approximately $1.3 million in revenue to the Brazos River Authority. That's the first line. Now, I'm not going to go through everything in this detail, but I just want to make sure you understood the first line is really setting the stage for the what's currently the environment. The next six lines are five-year increments. You can see which represent a 30-year period, and it's assuming that we go back to the original board-approved plan in 2001 with two changes to it. One, that we list the maximum rental. You can see right there in the middle column that the maximum rental goes away. Basically, there would be no maximum rental. And then the other, of course, change from what we're currently doing right now would be that we use the current assessed values for each applicable year that we have rather than freezing at the 2002 appraised values. And, of course, the effective rates, those were actually the effective rates that were put in place, the 4%, 5%, 6%, were what was recommended, again, approved by the board back in 2001 as part of the original rate program to get up to 6%. Anyway, but what you can begin to see on the land value in the yellow column is that the projection by 2008, that the 2007 land values will have more than doubled by then. In fact, we already know we have the 2005 certified numbers, and they're about $92 million that's on your sheet in 2005. And if I just used a very, very conservative increase of 1%, you can see down in the footnote down here, that this assumes just a 1% annual increase in land values. And the reason I used that was that the actual difference in land values from 2004 to 2005, the most recent year that we have, went up 0.4%. It was a very small increase in that year. Now, prior to that, it had gone up about 10%, and then prior to that was the big increase that went up between 2002 and 2003. But most recently, it just has not gone up much. We do have preliminary information on the 2006 assessed values, but they're not certified at this point, and I'm sure there's going to be some adjustments, things like that. But we're working through that information and looking at it, but we won't really have final numbers for actually a couple of months from the appraisal district. Yeah.
John, I'd be reluctant to say what that number is, but it's north of six, but they still have to be refined, and they still have to be refined whenever the folks come in and contest it. We think that's a bad number, and then that's how they're finally adjudicated out, and we don't have those numbers yet.
That's right.
But right now, we know that it's north of six.
That's right. The current number actually is near 10%. Well, I'm sure it's going to come down some. How far, I don't know. But that's just the preliminary information. That's what's happened between 05 and 06. In the aggregate over there, there were about, just to give you information, there's about 300 and something properties out of 1,500 that went up and then the rest of them didn't go up. So it's that's, again, what's happened in 06.
John, and also, as a clarification, this is just land value. This is not land and improvements. This is land value.
Yes, sir. Exactly right. This is just the value of the land that the BLA owns. This has, does not include improvements. It doesn't include any land that would be owned by the lessees outright.
Go ahead.
It's just the BLA problem. Again, if we use this methodology with the percentages as you see, using the latest land values that as we've projected with a 1% increase over time, you can see the annual revenue would do over the next 30-year period of time without any discount or anything at this particular point. If you just went back to the original methodology, again, it was improved in 2001. So this is really for illustration purposes to show. Now, by the way, this does include a 10% discount for the 65 homestead exemption. Again, we're doing that right now, and that's included in that. We mentioned before that it involves about 130 lessees, roughly. It doesn't create a huge impact in total on the whole thing, but that is included in this. So that's the first methodology that we're looking at. Okay, next slide. Methodology B is really the same as the...
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
On the homestead exemption?
Yes, sir.
You said that covers about 130. These are people that actually have filed the homestead exemption.
Yes. We go by what the tax, we use the tax appraisal saying they have to actually file a homestead and be over 65 to get that 10% discount. Methodology B is methodology A with a discount or reduction built in. The point of methodology B is to create just another alternative, another idea to look at. In a minute, we're going to look at methodology C, which is the Staubach recommendation. And so it's really B and C that we're going to compare in a way as far as the incentive methodology to try to incent people to go over to the new lease methodology, the new lease document that we would propose. Because we obviously know that we have lessees whose leases expire, but they're going to expire maybe 30 to 50 leases a year. Expire, it'll take 20-some-odd years for all the leases to expire to get them on a methodology. So part of our recommendation is to offer a discount, and Starbucks for us too, to offer a discount to incent them to migrate to the bank. So this is one approach, and what this does, you can see the discount that we're proposing, and again, it's just illustration. I mean, it's certainly subject to change, but it was just some numbers. I tried to make it simple. The reason why the discounts was 50% was, if you remember back on the slide before, it was 4%, it was 5, 6, 4, 5, and 6%. I just said, well, let's use a 50% discount of that year. That makes it 2%, and then a 40% would make it 3%, and a 33% you can see. And the discount finally goes away after 20 years. You see, by the year 28, you'll be at the 6%. Point under this scenario.
Sorry, explain what the discount does for
you. Well, the discount actually reduces, of course, it reduces the rate that you'll then multiply times their assessed values. Again, we're still talking about assessed values here, but you multiply that rate instead of 4% under methodology A, you would then just apply 2% for the first 5-year period times the assessed value, and they would then have that rate. Obviously, it would be at 50% of what it would be under the methodology A. And then they get the discount would, again, play out a little bit over the next 20 years in this particular case, where it finally goes to the full 6%. So on the far right column, you can see what the impact would be on the total revenue standpoint. You note that the first 5-year period, the 2008 through the 2012, before was about $3 million, this is about $2 million, and you can see it goes up somewhat, obviously, from there over 30 years, but it's not going up dramatically because we're only assuming that the land values are going up 1%. Now, they may certainly go up higher than that, and they do, then the revenues would certainly go up too. And if you can see with the discount rates, the effective rates go up. So that's this methodology. And we'll go to let's go to the next one. Methodology C is really the Staubach methodology or what they recommended. It's somewhat similar. It's similar in concept to methodology B in that, again, it's a discounted rate times a value. But there's two differences. basically they use a discount that's a little bit higher in the early years, and it winds down, as you can see, on a slower pace over time. But then they use a market value appraisal, as they discussed, rather than assessed value. And, of course, we don't know exactly what market value appraisal will be from a number standpoint, but their model assumed generally that it would be 50% higher than the assessed value. So they took the assessed values. Their analysis, and Roscoe will speak to this in more detail if you like, but their analysis showed that as you looked at individual properties, that they might be as much as 20% to 200% higher than the assessed values. But overall, so the average we put in was 50%. So basically, took the assessed values for purposes of this, took 150% of those values and used that as the land values for the Staubach model, and then with the discount. So they have a higher discount, but they also have higher values. So to some extent, they offset each other in total. Anyway, and you can see the land values being the period are about 50% higher. Remember, ours was $94 million was the number, and they're about 50% higher. They also, it's very important to look, is they put in or used a 6% annual increase in the land values, which causes them to escalate. Again, you know, what will that increase? Obviously, time will tell us what the actual increase is, but it goes up over time. And then you can see what their revenues actually will be. And it's interesting note under theirs that the total revenues in the early years, the first 10 years, are actually a little bit less than the revenues under the methodology B scenario that we were just looking at, but then they then escalate much higher over the latter years, and that's because of the increase in the land values is a much higher factor than in the other one, so the assumption. But it just gives you a point of comparison. Okay, the next slide, I think, is it's really the same numbers we were just looking at, but it allows you to compare them rather than being on three different slides. And of course, the land values by all the years are on the top that we just talked about, and then the probably more important stuff is the bottom half where it talks about the revenues, and you can sort of see for periods of time, these are the average annual revenues for each of those periods. And you can see at the bottom, the totals, revenues would be projected over a 30-year period of time, the difference. And again, keep in mind, methodology A was the 2001 method that's undiscounted. Then the methodology B is with the discounts, the 50%, 40%, 33%, 17%, and then methodology C, again, is the Staubach methodology with starting at 65% discount, but using market values and stuff. So, that's what those terms are. Next slide. These next four slides, and again, this is all on your details, the small number of pages that you have here. We picked several, we hope, representative properties. In fact, on yours, there's five properties. I'm just going to show you the first four right now. The last one is another one, too. We can discuss if you want. I just created four slides. I think it covers pretty much the universe of the owners. But property A, this first property, and this is now from the perspective, of course, of the properties with the lessee's perspective as to what the rates might be. Property A is a property that represents the smaller value properties in the total. Again, there's 1,570 lessees. Of those, there are about 30% of those total, or about more than 400 of them, that are under $25,000 in value currently, assessed value. You can see this particular one we picked, the 2002 value was $4,000, but we projected 2007. In fact, right now in 2005, it's about $12,000, and then if you just increase it up at 1% a year for a couple more years, it's about $13,000. So it's right about in the middle of that range. You can then see what, now again, under Staubach, you see the method sitting right in the middle there where the Staubach method, theirs is again 50% higher because they're taking the assessed value, taking 150%, assuming the appraised value is about 150% of it. And then as you look at the three white columns, again, this would be the rental under the three different scenarios or methods that we were talking about. Because of the value of the property being what it is, they would actually be in the, they'd just be hitting the minimum. So there's really not much change, as you can see in B1, because they're both at the minimum. They barely, at the end of 30 years, get slightly over the minimum. Starbuck one stays in the minimum for the first half of the period, but then because of the land value going up high enough in the latter half, they start going above the minimum. But it just shows there's not as much impact, obviously, to properties in this particular category. This is in the middle of it. Obviously, if you get a little bit higher than 25,000, you're going to begin to see you're going to get a little bit above the minimum. But obviously, the impact's going to be less than some of the higher value properties. So it's just, that's an illustration of one category. Okay, the next one. Property D are properties that are between 25 and 75,000. This is actually the largest category of properties, represents about 40% of the total lessees. Again, that's the value in 2005. That's the value, the latest value, assessed values we have today. You can see this particular example was at 20,000 in 2002. It's at 64,000. We project by 2008 or the 2007 valuations, which we'd use for the 2008. So it's at 64. You can see what the current rate. You can see the current rates this particular property is paying right now, based on 2002, is at $600. 3% of 20,000, which is how you get to the $600. Also, they're in a. I don't know about panic, but look, this one probably has a couple more years to where you can't adjust it under the old lessee, I believe. So it's not adjustable. Under the old lease until 2009 or 10 or something like that. But what we assume here as we get to 2008 through 2012 is that under Method B, that it would convert, that it would accept the incentive, because you can see that the average for that five-year period, if they stay under the old lease, they're going to pay an average of $1,800 a year under the old method, under the non-discounted method, or the old lease method, if you will, whereas if they accept the new lease method with the discount, they're going to pay $1,297, or under the Starbuck method, will pay just a little over $1,000, a little bit less than that. And then you can see how it progresses, where obviously Method B or Method C are preferable to Method A from the standpoint of what they would select to do, certainly over the life of the thing. And you can see, of course, over the long term, as we talked about before, the Starbuck method, again, they go up faster in the out years because of the compounding of the values. Anyway, that's excellent. Okay, next one. Property C is a little bit similar to property B in that it's still sort of in the middle, but it's in the next higher range. It's 75,000 to 150,000. It represents about 25% of the group, and you can sort of see what the numbers are there again. This particular property is at would be at it's at 30,000 in 2002. It's at 93,000 in 2008. You can then look on the right side and see what the rentals would do on this property. And this particular property has never gotten on the new methodology yet that we picked. It's just because if they had, their rate would obviously be at $900, because it'd be at 30,000 times 3%. They're still at $800, which was the number that they had. So they will be coming on with a new methodology or at some particular point in the next few years. But if they migrate on that, again, you can see and that's the reason I put this in is you can see they're actually less expensive than Method A for the first five-year period. It averages $1,400 versus $1,800 under Method B, even though Method B is discounted. The reason why is they've got 3 or 4 years of $800 still under the old lease that they would be locked into. We couldn't change if they stayed under the old lease. And even when they, but then when they adjust with 1 or 2 years left in that last five-year period, the total for that whole period, the average for that whole period, would still be less than Method B. But then look what happens in the next five-year period. All of a sudden, their average is $4,000 for the next five-year period versus less than $3,000 for the next five-year period under Method B. So it depends on what perspective, how short-sighted you look at it, or what period of time you look at it. But you can see that obviously Method B turns out to be less total. And of course, again, the Starbuck numbers are a little bit, are pretty similar, a little bit less in the early years, but then grow larger in the later years. Last slide. Property B is an example of one of the higher end properties. Those that are over 150,000, you can see it only represents 5%. All properties that are only approximately 5% of the total 1,500 lessees are over 150,000. This particular one has actually a 2002 land value at 254. It's up to about, would be up about 430,000 in 2008. And you can see there the max, just as we discussed, at 2,000 right now because we have the maximum in place. If we lifted the max, this would certainly be a property that would be impacted by that. And you can see what happens there to there and what a fairly significant difference from method B to method A. They'd be at 8,600 under method B, 8,600 for an average of 5 years, but then going up from there. It's the way, keep in mind, the two things are happening as you go up into each of the five-year periods. Not only the land value is going up a little bit, in our case, 1% under the stalls there is 6%, but you also got the rates going up. Even whether they're discounted or not, they're still going to be going up for the next 20 years or so under either scenario. So, doing that. That gives you an idea. I know there's a lot of numbers there, but it gives you an idea of at least, hopefully, some representative properties. But what the total impact is, the BIA and some of the earlier slides we looked at, but then the more specific impacts to examples of properties as we look at. And I'll be happy to.
I think that was the last slide we had. I'll be happy to answer any questions. Again, the property, the last property, property E, that's in your thing is perfectly valid too to look at. It's a property that falls in the, I think it was around $133,000 value, so it's a little bit under this. It's just fairly representative of the other one, so it's in your information, but I just didn't make a slide of it.
Any questions or what can I
use your observations?
So is option B or method B the staff's take on a lease rate methodology?
Option B is a conservative approach that says you still have the latitude to go in there and pick some different things to make that happen, but that's what would happen if you took the conservative approach to go down there, yes.
Option B, just like as Phil said, option B is just an alternative way of looking at Starbuck again, and Starbuck said this, that if you look at their discount at the appraised value, that's one number, but if we go down the path of an assessed value, you probably want to look at what the discount number you're now using, because arguably the assessed value is going to be less than the appraised value. If you're trying to get to a market approach, then you're probably going to need potentially a lower discount than they were proposing. So it's just an alternative way to look at it. And again, it could be, I can run obviously a lot of different scenarios with different discounts and different things that it comes down to sort of what the objective is what you're, is what the board's trying to get to from how quickly they want to get to market value or do they want to get to market value as far as to what methodology you use.
Could you go back to those slides indicating the various discounts under?
Yes. Go back about five slides if you can go back. Keep going back. Keep going back. Yeah. Go back. Okay. Back on the three methodologies, the first one has no discount. It's the original approach. In fact, it's the same rate that we're using even right now. The only difference is right now we're using 2002 appraisal assessments, but we would be using, or we would assume we'd continue to use the same rate structure if we went forward. Methodology B is that rate structure, but is a 50% discount off that rate, which would make it 2%, then a 40%, which, and again, the only reason I picked those discounts, some of it was simplicity, is just saying that I was trying to say instead of it being 4, 5, and 6, why don't we make it 2, 3, 4, 5, and just slow down the movement to 6%. And that has to be what those discount rates come out to be, 50, 40, 33, 17. But you can make them 60, 50, 40, 30, and of course that'll make these numbers over here be a little bit less. It'll make the revenue numbers be less if you discount them a little bit more. So there's certainly sensitivity to whatever.
And then the third slide, C, was sliding 65, 60, 55, 50,
yes.
And so on.
Oh, yes. And let me, since you brought this good question, go forward the slides. I think go forward a few slides. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. No, go past. Keep going. Okay. Okay.
That's a good.
Go forward to that. Keep going through that. Go for it. Keep going. There you go. Okay. I actually put a backup slide in here. It's a fourth methodology, and it's consistent, Mr. Chairman, with what you're talking about. It is used as a slightly higher discount. It's like methodology B, if you will, that increases the discount. Instead of being 50, 40, 33, 17, it says, well, what would the numbers be if it was 60, 50, or even say the numbers there. And you look over to the side, and obviously the annual rental is a little bit less. It was $2.1 million in total, and now it's down to $1.8 million if you had a 60% discount, which makes the effective rate 1.6% instead of 2%. And then you can see that it just makes the revenue a little less, and of course the lessee's rates would all be, generally speaking, would be less accordingly. You can see that one of the differences is at the end of the 30-year period, you're not really quite to 6% yet. The next 5-year period, you'd be at 6%, but your down rate is only 10% discount in that last period. So it just increases the discount, but it's just another
John,
another approach. Yes,
I'm a little bit confused here. Let me tell you what my confusion is. I could make 7 of these tables drawing numbers out of a hat.
Right.
And they would be equally impressive up on the blue screen. What are you recommending?
Okay. Okay. And may I ask another question on the Starbuck discount?
Yes.
Last number shown is a 40% discount.
Yes, sir.
Is that where it stops or is it
keep going? No, it keeps going down.
I believe their recommendation is to continue to go to zero, but it takes 65 years for it to go to zero. Because it starts at 65, goes down 5% a year, so it basically takes 65 years for it to go to zero. So it's just a much slower wind down of the discount in that period of time. So, okay.
Okay, here again, we're a little bit of the discussion, but then, let me go to, how do you correlate all this together and bring it to where you can move on to the next step? To be sure, again, if the 95, 94.3% with what the Starbucks study said as far as a methodology, And let's go back and always remember, the Starbank company did exactly what we asked them to do. Mm-hmm. And that was to go forward and tell us how much the land's worth and how can we maximize our investment or how should we manage this property. They did what we asked them to do. So then we went down through the thing that said, should we have a strategic vision? The staff concurs. We should. We need to manage our existing agreements. And then we need to also manage our real property assets. Then the question comes up, and I think Martha asked it either on the email or the lifetime can't remember, but says we talked about it one time, selling the property versus leasing the property. The Starbucks conclusion was that you need to lease the property because this is a gold mine, and you need to mine that gold at the perfect rate to be able, because it can last out there for a long time. This is a strategic asset. Also, there are, and I can have a man sitting back here that can talk to us about it, in order to sell this, if you have to sell it because of the way that the laws are and who we are, the answer is it's very, very complicated. You have to put it out for bid. You as the board have to declare it to be in excess. There's no value to it. 74% of the land is not being utilized now. So we move down the road and said we concur. And so we still need to continue the lease. Then what John put up here says that you take an approach over here that the TVA study says that their initial study was that you immediately go to 6% over the 20-year period. You go 3, 4, 5, 6. That brought you to a set of numbers. The Starbucks company came in and they said, how do you assess, I think you ought to use the appraised values. Well, we went down there. That broke. And we said we think that you need to use the present Palo Pinto County folks to come up with a number. Why would the stupid staff say that? For a number of reasons. It's conservative. There's political ramifications. I would have to hire another team of lawyers if we got into the self-assessment and went out into the individual assessment. If the latest numbers that we have, I think it was going to cost someplace north of between $500,000 and $1 million to be able to go out and do all of those 1,600 individual assessments.
There are numbers down in the 250, but then there's other numbers up in the million-dollar range. But again, if you're looking to get the maximized dollar, the answer is not wrong, if that's what you're trying to do. What are our objectives?
Does your $500 million include all the grievance processes for people who don't test the appraisals?
Well, that's a start. That probably pays for that.
Yes, sir. I don't think it does, because even if you were to settle the first volley, you're going to have an ongoing assessment battle with property by property every year. So you have to set up a mechanism. You have to set up the funding. You have to set up whatever you have to set up.
I agree with you. The county is up and gets us out of the grievance process. It's a big number.
Something else here.
I think it's an offsetting cost, though.
When you talk about methodology and you talk about discounts, you can talk about them before the horse or after the horse or whatever you want to do, but getting to the, there's two things here I think that are important enough to understand, and I'm not smart enough to know the answer. Karen, you want to know? There it is. If we started out with a value at a certain date, let's say Palatine's value, we know that their values have structures on, and they're supposed to have leasehold interest, not land values. This is what the question is right now, as I understand it, about how the methodology they use to value some of these leasehold properties. Leasehold interest obviously go down as the lease matures, but that doesn't mean that the land value goes down. And what we're talking about here is land values, not leasehold values. I want everybody to understand that. This land value is listed right there by the Palatine. They have to have that to get to any credible leasehold out there. And if in fact their value is different, then I think you've got some reason to fuss at it. Land value is not leasehold value. The second thing is that we assume a 1% increase. We don't know what that increase will be. People down the road will say, well, can you tell me what my increase will be in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or in 20 years? Well, I can't. Is there a way to soften that? Can we cap it? I don't know that anybody is tying the board's hands to capping it in any 1 year if they want to. Future boards in the future. I've heard a suggestion offered that if somebody wants to come in and write a 30-year lease right now, what would it be? So they would know that their lease rate's off the next 30 years. I mean, there's a variety of options out there available to us. Once you get to that, I think then you start talking about, okay, what kind of effective discount are we going to give people so this doesn't run them off their place.
Ask a question on that.
Go ahead.
Everybody wants to know exactly what their lease is going to be X years from now. Did you tell me what the interest rate's going to be?
I think it's an excellent point.
All of us pay investment costs.
Yeah, but let me expound on that just a little bit, because I look at some of these numbers and, you know, we get accused of not hearing the public. And I kind of tend to disagree. I think we've heard the public, and the resounding issue that we tried to deal with, and what Sarek tried to deal with, was to give credit where credit is due, and that's the fact that the people here have been here a long time. They didn't create the situation. They're benefactors. And right now, it doesn't look like it's a positive benefactor situation. But if you look at a fixed rate, and this is where it gets complicated, you've got to look at the net present value of money. Because if you take, and I'm pulling numbers, because we can all do that, 6% and a lot value at $100,000, then that's $6,000 a year. And you do that over 30 years, that's $180,000. But if you look at the real benefits of the BRA, it's much greater than that, because we have access to dollars under a fixed rate that we wouldn't get under a variable rate. Now, I'm going to have a dollar today than $2 tomorrow. So, I mean, we haven't even looked at that. The other, and I'll be the devil's advocate. If,
under that scenario, what you do have there with increasing values is you have a rate of return that's declining. So if you're trying to get the market, you're not there. Because if you have declining values, and therein lies the real problem with answering the question, what's the interest going to be in 5 years, what's my rate going to be in 5 years, and so forth.
Mr. Chairman, I take a slightly different view. Phil mentioned that 74% of the property we own that there is undeveloped. I think a lot of the value of the properties in total will depend to a large extent how we develop the undeveloped properties. It is not a set aside. It is not a green belt. These are properties, the undeveloped properties also require maximization on our part. What we can do with them to maximize income for the people of Texas. And I think the most important part of my view of the Sawbuck study was our economic development part, the last part of this thing. And I think realistically, if we carefully develop the undeveloped properties, the property values of the entire system up there will increase as we develop economically. And I think it's something to consider that we're not talking only about the 4 or 5 or 6% that are currently leased. But we're looking forward realistically to how to develop the undeveloped properties. And I think Starbuck did a very fine job of looking forward and not to limit our thinking and our scope to just those things that currently exist. That was one of my comments about the carrying capacity for the lake. We cannot limit ourselves to the point that we would be in a position not to be able to develop any of the undeveloped lake, in this case in that lake. We must reserve space. Now, we're all of it in total. If we do a financial model for the lake for 5, 10, 15 years from now, we have to factor in, what are we going to do with the part of that undeveloped land? How are we going to develop it, if at all? And I'm looking around the world at undeveloped properties that either are facing lakes or beaches. Undeveloped property right now, they're being used for $25 an acre just to get an option out of it. Now, these are very valuable properties that, in fact, will benefit the folks that live up at Prosecutor, because essentially we're talking about increasing the tax base. And the tax base will provide the revenue to some of these things we're talking about, our roads and secure and other various things, as we develop more and more of that property. It is not, I cannot sit here and say, gee, the 4% or 5% of the property is occupied dictates what happens to the 100%. It is not that of the people of Texas.
Other comments? Observations? Did I hear you say that the assessor right now is looking at this now as land that is fee simple when they do their quote appraisal? Are they looking at it as distressed, if you will, because it's encumbered by a different owner?
No, I didn't mean to imply that whatsoever. That's the question, I think, before the court. Is the methodology that the assessor used, now how did they arrive at the value for the leasehold? And did they, in their valuations, did they take land value plus the structure, or did they take the structure plus the leasehold interest value?
We don't know what they actually did.
We don't know.
We will find out shortly.
These are land values up there. These are not leasehold values. These are taken off of their assessments. Now, what they did in their assessment to the property owners, I don't know.
Let's look at that staff proposal for residential leases.
You want to elaborate on that staff proposal on the residential leases any further today? Bill, or do you want to take that and modify it?
Well, let me finish out a couple more points, and then we'll go to that slide in just a second. But you know, so why would the staff? Why do we think about going to the conservative approach versus going to the recommended one? The answer was we felt that we could get some market stabilization out of it. The political ramifications, and I'll talk more about that in just a second. And this problem was developed over a 50-year period. It just didn't happen yesterday. And plus with the leasees' expectations, and try to create some stability to where everyone in the market, that they, in the morning when they wake up, they're not worried about this and how this is going to potentially run their lives. Plus, I think it gives stability to the industry as far as the financial institutions. And then if you make the appraised value, if you go to the appraised value, which we're going to recommend,
is that if you don't do that right, the same thing happens. Either we could get hosed or they could. If the numbers don't come out right. But there is a process for them to ensure that that doesn't happen. It's in existence now. They're also in the middle of a class action suit to make sure that they're doing the process right. She's saying you assess value, not the appraise. This is assess value. We think that we need to the consideration in concert with the master plan long range goals. What are we going to do with the 74,000 acres we have there? Wrong terminology. With the 74% of the acres that are not developed or not under lease with the cottage leases on them, what are we going to do with that? I think it's one that the director said. There's some exciting things that you can do, but it needs to be done in concert with the other stuff. We think we ought to go ahead and explore the wetlands mitigation. Who can argue with that? We need to move, with the name of the Starlight Company, we need to implement a periodic inspection program. Our first cut is that we're going to need two more people in order to do that. And that those numbers would be picked up in the lease rates as whatever they're adopted here, and there will be annual inspections. We think that there needs to be construction standards, which was implemented in the shoreline management. We think there needs to be a required periodic review and adjustment of late fees, whatever they're chosen to be as a result of what we come out of this. Consider concession agreements for public enhancement. The use of competitive bids, excluding the residential developmental entities, but use competitive bids on all on-water commercial facilities once we pass through that, dot all the I's and do all the, cross all the T's in that agreement. Again, this has been a very difficult time since our last meeting. Because we had pressures from the board, we had pressures from the public, we had pressures from the politicals, and what we found out was, and under the freedom of information and public truth, I'd like to read two letters, one from the Honorable Phil King, who is a representative of his letter, what he says. One of the solid recommendations was to get rid of the sub-leases. That may be too hard politically. I don't think it's too hard to say, okay, if you stay, you got to meet with the requirements of the standards that we have in the school. Because that's not happening right now. And so that was a way to mediate that problem. So part of the recommendation would be, if you stay, then you have to meet the compliance of the regulatory of the environmental standards. For the record, let me introduce two letters that the this letter was sent on the 18th of May, and it was to Mr. Steve Pinion, Mr. Wade Gear, Mr. Phil Ford, from Senator Craig Estes. Reference Carson Pinion leasehold. Myself and I have been in contact with some businessmen from Dallas area who are leaseholders at Carson Pinion Road. I, like you, have had numerous conversations over the past few years with issues surrounding the future lease on and around Carson Pinion Road. These gentlemen have offered me, as I know they will you, a refreshing positive approach to the situation. These stakeholders are Mansford, Edward Austin, Jim Shields, and Jay Turner. Like many leaseholders at Papa Puma, these gentlemen opposed the adoption of the Stallback Report as currently under consideration by the BRA Board of Directors. Like much of what you've heard, their approach to the disagreement is not based on emotion, but ours. Familiar defense of status quo. They realize that lease rates shall increase, for example, but with reason and predictability, they seek to be a resource of development of a permanent solution to the PK VRA issue that is beneficial to all concerned parties for now and in the future. Stakeholders have convinced me that they should have a part of a positive solution-seeking process in which their suggestions for meeting VRA needs are considered. And consensual resolution is reached. They have expressed to me a concern that all previous venues of interaction have been put in a reactionary position regarding the proposed plan and they would like the opportunity to legitimately counter-offer. More importantly, they believe that they have something positive to add to the discourse surrounding the cost of human rights issue and will raise the level of discussion. I agree. For these reasons, I'm asking these three gentlemen to hold a meeting with these gentlemen in the very clear and the very near future. I ask that you have the conversation in which you share the long-term goals, plans, and needs of BRA. In turn, as he loses his place, in turn, I ask that you listen to the concerns and the suggestions of the leaseholders. I ask that these gentlemen should refrain from engaging in external influences and working with the BRA on the issue. This request was predicated and contingent upon the assumptions that no action on the subject will be taken by the BRA prior to meeting with them, the meeting that I am requesting. It is a great pleasure that I make the request for you conversation with these leaseholders. I look forward to seeing your dates available to meet with them. Please inform me of those potential dates, times, locations before the close of business on the 26th of May of 2006. I also look forward to hearing a positive outcome of the meeting, as I believe will be so. The BRA and effective leaseholders are long-time partners. Each needs the other to be healthy, and it is my hope that you seven gentlemen, in the absence of outside interference, might develop a method of ensuring the future brain well-being of all parties. Thank you for your tireless efforts in pursuing for what is best for all. Greg Essence. The next letter comes from 13 State Representative District 61. During the quarter, I recently received several calls from concerned constituents that own property in the Possum Kingdom, that raised Possum Kingdom. They have called my attention that the Register Authority Board is going to have a meeting of a possible vote recommendation to the Starback Company, made in regard to property surrounding the lake on the 22nd of May. Upon reviewing these recommendations, it's clear that if the BRA does choose to adopt them, that there will be some major fiscal implications to the property owners at Possum Kingdom Lake. Because of the serious nature of this implication, it is my hope that the BRA will postpone the vote for the matter of at least 60 days in order to give the property owners that will be potentially affected real time to study how they will be impacted. I appreciate your considerations in the matter and look forward to your prompt response.
Mr. Cole?
Yes, ma'am.
Have we heard from the four gentlemen referenced in Senator Estes' letter prior to this?
Mr. J. Turner has been in contact with the board on several occasions. The other two I can't speak to.
And did we have their positive suggestions before us?
Not at this time.
They have not presented them in writing?
No.
Any gentleman? Okay. You may know him?
Yeah.
All three
of them.
Very well.
Any other questions or comments? More?
I know what I heard was this matter is going to be taken out of the hands of the board.
I couldn't hear what you said.
I said, what I heard was this matter is going to be taken out of the hands of the board.
I think that what the board is going to do is to direct and to govern, not to hand off everything our responsibility. That's what it's for us to do. That's
why I brought it up.
Yeah. Well, did you have a comment?
No, I was just trying to, I couldn't hear what the conversation was.
Good point. Against that, I'm not sure that everybody had the... This is what your comment was. What did you say?
I swore an oath to represent the Brazos River Authority and the people of the state of Texas, you know. And if we give up our job to our responsibility to mediate outside of the board's responsibility, why do we need the board for it? I just let the politicians and the staff work things out.
This is my thoughts on this matter. I've been on through the longest, dealing with this for a long time, and we've come up with different scenarios, different suggestions, and we've met some opposition. I understand the comments were made against what we were saying. But I have never heard, I've heard them object to things, but I've never heard specific recommendations on the matter. We now have before us a definite plan here. And it seems reasonable to me to compare with the people involved that are going to be affected by this, and I think we should take these two letters in consideration and meet with them and see what these are suggestions they have to what we proposed it. Well, we're not, like I said, I only heard the objective business that to that. So I think we should meet with them as suggested in these
letters. My comment on that is, no matter what plan you come up with, no matter what we do, there's always a delay. We can't do that. Let's look for something else. And after we confer with them, if they have something, there'll be a reason why we're not going to do that one. Mm-hmm. And the other comment is, I seriously question the legality of doing this. How does this do with the Open Meetings Act, with these people meeting with Steve and Wade?
Obviously, it's going to depend on how many members.
All right.
Clearly, under the Open Meetings Act, if there's going to be a quorum of a committee or board, there wouldn't have to be a public meeting, but I think it's determinative to look at who is planning and meeting with these individuals and hearing their input. And I think there's any number of ways, if any of the desires to do that, that you can do it, but certainly we wouldn't want to have a quorum of a committee or a quorum of a member of this board get together with, you know, an individual group.
That means that I could pick a couple of directors and not have a meeting?
The risk of that in my mind is the fact that there is a provision under the Open Meetings Act that's called Conspiracy to Circumvent Chapter. The risk that you run is if someone wants to raise what you did that to get around the law, then I think you put yourself to some degree in peril. But what the law requires specifically for posting is that deliberations between the quorum of the governing body, you know, would be held in an open meeting.
My opinion is we delay this time, and then there'll be another delay, and there'll be another delay, and there'll be another delay, and in 2025 we'll be sitting here talking about the same thing.
How many public meetings have we had, open meetings, where any of these three could have spoke?
Why are we coming forward now? One reason, delay.
We had a workshop here a couple of weeks ago that was open to everybody.
They were handing out information 3 weeks ago when we met. Why delay?
I'm just saying, because we're getting involved in this, in my opinion.
There's been many people from Tute who have taken time away from their daily lives. They have come at their own expense to appear before the board in a proper fashion according to our rules. And it does concern me that now we have some people who propose suggestions and ideas when there has been a whole process starting back in October. Am I correct? October. Yes. And with great respect to Senator Estes and his duties, I know that he wants all of his constituents to have their voices heard. But we've had the meetings there and we've had the representatives from the Austin Kingdom Lake Association, and also from the advisory board that has since been dissolved. So it concerns me that these gentlemen did not take the opportunity during the official process.
Are there comments or observations? Does the staff have a recommendation from the staff for a resolution, or? The staff was basically did not put a resolution together, but depending upon the discussion. And like I said, you asked me what I would do. I gave you what I would do. And then the question is, do you agree with that to put it into a resolution? And then you either vote on it or you say go back and meet with these people and bring it forward, and we're going to set a definitive time that this will be resolved.
Bill, I want to make a comment, and for the benefit of the board, I would say that before we do anything on this, we're going to break for lunch, but I want to make one comment here, is that no one on this board shares more frustration about this matter than I do, save and except for Rudy Garcia, who's been here longer than I have. It's a troublesome issue, it's a frustrating issue, and it's an issue that we'd all like to put to bed as soon as we can. Unfortunately, we can't seem to do that.
because no matter what we do, and I share some of Billy's thoughts, because I've been here 7 years, and I think I've earned the right to say every time we wanted to do something, let's wait and see. And it's 7 years later, and we're waiting and seeing. 2 days later, and we're waiting and seeing. So I'm frustrated. I'm very frustrated. I think Rudy's observation of let's meet and talk with him, I don't know if that would do any good, but I, you know, if that's the will of the board, I'd be more than happy to do that with Mr. Gere and under the proper circumstances. But what I'd like for you all to remember is this, whatever motion we come up with is going to affect a lot of people. Much more than just being frustrated. It's going to be a major impact on folks. And so, and I know you all know that. You don't need to be reminded of that again, but please try to control some of your frustrations as I have this last weekend. And with that, I'm going to take my privilege here and we're going to break the rush.